The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, every group, every person, society which Buddhism comes into is going to ask the question, you know, or do the exercise of figuring out how to apply Buddhist practice and teachings for their particular suffering. And different people and groups and societies suffer in different ways. And so it becomes a little different, you know, different cultures. And here in the United States, you know, there's a unique culture here that's very different from ancient India. And one of the formulations of Buddhism, or applications of it, or transformations of it, that's taken here, is with a particular practice or particular attitude for what represents practice for Buddhists, for some Buddhists, and that is the practice of acceptance. There's a lot of people who, for whom somehow, the idea of learning how to be accepting and have an accepting awareness is very important for a lot of people here in the United States. And somehow it relieves some kind of maybe lack of acceptance, some kind of sometimes a lot of self-judgment, a lot of self-criticism, a lot of reactivity that's so beneficial that for some people, it's kind of like life-changing to learn to practice kind of accepting awareness. But if you go back to the ancient teachings of the Buddha, you don't find this emphasis on acceptance. And it's exactly the same way. It's a little hard to find it. And then if you think about that, then you also, especially as a teacher, talking to many people, that the teaching of acceptance can lead to a little bit off, people a little bit off-center a little bit. Sometimes acceptance becomes complacency, or becomes, some things shouldn't be accepted. And so it becomes kind of an aloofness, or kind of like, you know, not really using our intelligence to evaluate things properly. Just have to accept everything, just kind of, okay, go along with it. And that's not really, sometimes that's, you know, it can be goes too far in the direction of going along with things we shouldn't go along with because we think we're supposed to practice acceptance. So it's maybe interesting to kind of see what was it that the Buddha was teaching that was comparable to this idea of acceptance. And one of the things that we find in some of the early texts that's is the idea of don't pick anything up and don't reject anything. And that's maybe overlaps quite a bit with the idea of acceptance for some people. So maybe some of you see maybe it's the same. But as we and to use meditation as the reference point for first and foremost to kind of find our way with this, as things occur in meditation, don't pick anything up. Don't pick it up. But also don't reject it. So thoughts arise. And maybe, you know, you didn't will that thought to occur. It wasn't like you plan ahead and said, you know, at 11:35, Wednesday morning, you know, that'll be a great time for that thought. And I'll just, you know, put it in the queue so it shows up. And I'll make sure to kind of, you know, go in there and pull it up and start thinking those thoughts. A thought arose, and then some of you probably at 11:35 today, whatever your thought was, picked it up, got involved. And some of you maybe rejected it and felt bad about it, pushed it away, and, you know, wanted to dismiss it and kind of jerk your mind back to the breath because you shouldn't be doing that. But what about neither picking it up nor rejecting it? What's the advantages of that? What's the benefit of that? What happens to your thinking if you neither get involved in it, nor, well, or the you know, involved by picking it up, or there's a kind of involvement with it if we reject it. You're not picking it up, but you are entangled with it if you think it's wrong and bad and you should get rid of it and stop doing it. And is there this third alternative? Is the possibility of doing something that is neither picking up nor rejecting? Not getting involved in it or entangled with it, but also not pushing it away or condemning it. What does that look like in the mind? What does that look like in the heart? What is it? So maybe you can imagine that with thoughts, but what about if it's with everything? That the mind neither picks it up nor rejects it. So that's the language the Buddha used. Sit and practice and don't pick up, don't reject. The advantage of having that negative framework, don't pick up and don't reject, is that it's mostly what we don't do. When you use the word acceptance, then it sounds like you're supposed to do the acceptance. Okay, I got to muster up, I have to have energy, I have to accept, I have to kind of steel myself for what's coming, or I have to do this thing. And then we debate ourselves, why should I do this thing? And here we are with American Buddhism again, or whatever it might be, your debates. But if you have this, what you don't do, I don't do this, I don't do that, then you're left with what is. And what's it like to be left with what is if you're neither picking it up or pushing it away? What's it like to be alive? What's it like to be with yourself, your feelings, your thoughts, your life, the situation you're in? What's it like to be in traffic, Bay Area traffic, which, can be interesting? And neither picking anything up nor rejecting. What is that like? What are you left with? Is the suffering of Bay Area traffic that you have, does it arise because you already picked something up? You've already put, rejecting something. But what if you neither pick up nor reject? What happens to what's left, even sitting still at the toll plaza? There we are. For the Buddha, the task in practice is to come to this place where the mind doesn't pick up and doesn't reject. And what are we left with? And is there freedom to be found in what we're left with? Is freedom the alternative to those two? And finally, what I'd like to say, that when we neither pick up nor reject, the heart, the mind, still functions. It's not static. It's not like we're left with nothing. We're left with a heart and a mind that still responds, still has thoughts, still has feelings, still has impulses and desires or motivations. And maybe if you're not involved in picking up and rejecting, and that's not part of the thought patterns or part of the desires that arise, maybe what arises is wisdom. Maybe what has a chance to appear is wisdom and compassion. There's a whole different way of living your life that can arise when it's not being fueled by the wanting that is involved with picking things up and the rejecting that is characterized by wisdom and compassion. So part of Buddhist practice is to trust that it's okay not to pick anything up. And it's okay not to reject anything. And that's a pretty tall order, to trust that. But that's kind of that you know, so anyway, so that's the Buddha's alternative to practicing acceptance. So, thank you. And,